Hey, this is AKM from Dallas Fuel, and you're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Centering, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 176, coming to you live from an undisclosed location. The date, September 22nd, 2019. The time, 6:16 p.m. Doing it a little bit early today, because some of us have a Overwatch match in about an hour in our Don't Call It a League. So we gotta get this one out of the way so I can just dominate. This will be the best episode ever, as we have our very first Too Soon review, as Anuj and I will dive into Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It was the open beta, quote unquote open beta, this weekend for PC. So we got to play that for the first time, so we will give our thoughts and opinions, the good, the bad, the ugly. Yikes of the week is today, and we have roster updates across the board in Call of Duty League and CSGO, so we'll just kind of just jumble those up. And of course, we'll end the show with e-news as always. Before we do that, make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, currently under construction, but it will be back soon enough. Don't you worry. Back and better than ever. Join our Discord. That link is also on our Twitter profile. Be a part of that conversation. We love to hear from you. We have some dudes there. They're good, good dudes to be a part of the conversation with. That's about it. Let's say hello. Hello, my name is Tim. I'll be your host for this journey into esports. But with me, as always, is my best bud, Anuj. What's up?
What's up, bud? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's a good, good weekend. It's kind of nice that we're doing this when the sun is up. I feel a little bit more energized. The Lions won today.
Weird, because lighting is awkward in my room. I'm not, used to it. It's just a little different at this time.
It looks good. Looks good. You actually have a smile on stream.
You know?
That's a first. Maybe that's the
maybe. Okay, Cowboys won, Lions won. You know, what more do we need today?
That's right. It's a good one. We need some TCR is what we need, though. Let's get into it, though. Because we have a lot to get into and not that little bit of time, because we spent too much time talking in our pre-show meeting, is what we'll call it. Even though it's just us kind of jerking around for an hour before we actually decide to hit record, because I do have, if you're watching live, I'm in a Overwatch, they don't want us to call it a league, like Overwatch League, actually, it's the Tranquility Community, if anyone's ever heard of it. It's actually ran pretty professionally. I've also gotten my hand slapped and yelled at for being inappropriate in it, but that's not a surprise to anyone.
No.
The Overwatch League actually, though, told them, hey, because it used to be called the Tranquility League. And Blizzard was like, don't do that. So they can't call it a league because they don't want people thinking it is associated with an actual competing Overwatch League. I'm like, I don't think anyone's going to assume this beer league Overwatch community is in competition with you. But okay, Blizzard, I guess we won't argue.
No point in arguing that one.
Yeah, it's not worth arguing with you about it. Okay. Sure. It's a community, not a league.
Looks like they're obviously black and white with the policy, at least.
Yeah. Go figure, right? Blizzard being black and white. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? So yeah, I have that in about an hour. So we just want to record, and then that way we can get this match out of the way and move on with our lives. We'll see how it goes. Let's get into our Too Soon review, though, because like I said, the open beta, which is not an open beta, I've tweeted about this.
It's before. Half and half, right?
I don't understand games now where it's like the early access games that are early access for 4 years but make $1 billion a month, looking at you, Fortnite. And then now you have open beta where they're like, join the open beta by pre-ordering. That's not an open beta. Back in my day, an open beta was I could just download the game, sign up to your newsletter, and I got in. like now you're actually making me pre-order it, but thankfully I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, so Friday, Saturday was the pre-order open beta, and then Sunday and I believe the early part of tomorrow is the like true open beta. True, so open. Now anybody can go and download and play if you're listening to this.
So we want to give our too soon review is what we're going to call this segment. And we're calling it that because we are acknowledging that this is way too soon to make a sound decision on the game. It is open beta. You know, the pro settings haven't even been set up, which we all know will be solidified 3 quarters into the actual league. So this is way too early. It's all knee-jerk reactions, but nonetheless, TCR is the only show brave enough to critique a game this early. So we will bear that cross so you don't have to. I want to get into the good, the bad, the ugly with you, Anuj, on this. We both have had time to play it a considerable amount. We have played everything other than 2v2 because for whatever reason, neither one of us were able to like get into a room without waiting longer than 3 minutes. And let's face it.
Didn't seem like it was doing anything.
Yeah, like, okay, 3 minutes, I'm moving on. Like, get it. It's a 2v2 mode. Thank you. But I did play like the war mode. I don't know what they call it, but the big mode, like the 64 person. We played normal quick play. Should we compliment sandwich this? Should we start with a good?
I think we have to start with the good. Yeah, we got to start with the good here because there is good.
There is. I will say my first thing is I love the way it feels. Like I obviously we play on PC, so there's no vibration, right? Like you, with a controller, you feel that vibration unless you're a pro like me and you turn it off because you feel like it might affect your aim. That was my old school pro mentality. But I almost feel like there is vibration in my mouse and keyboard. Like the guns just have some oomph to them, right? Like I love that feeling behind it. And it kind of looks like a battlefield game, but with Call of Duty, which we kind of mentioned before, right? Like that's what it always looked like. But that to me is good. I loved the feel of it.
I can piggyback off that because, I mean, that was the first thing that obviously stood out to me was it just shooting guns in that game feels really good. The scopes, I mean, it just...
The sound.
The recoil, the sound. They did a really good job.
Albeit the sound might blow out your eardrums if you don't turn it down right away. But
opening volume,
that's
for sure.
The point.
No, but yeah, like it felt really good. You're right. Like just shooting weapons in that game feels nice. You know, everything kind of feels pretty... It feels fairly pinpoint. You know, even movement, I like the quick movement that it has if you want to sprint faster and a little bit of the sliding. It's not like overkill that like we've seen in some games where you can
like
feel
in,
like you
in
can
Black
run
Ops 4, you could like slide, jump, slide. And yeah, I mean, you look like a gazelle running. This seems more like a human
little bit more realistic.
Slide. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that was number one for me. Is the first thing I noticed was just the gunplay. The gunplay was great. Second thing is like graphically, like it looks really good, you know, like I feel like I know what you're going to say.
And I'm going to put a disclaimer on it. Okay. I'm running on an older PC. My PC is pushing about 5 years old. It's probably time for an upgrade, but you know what? I just had a kid. So that will push it back, you know, like a month.
But you're still
or two.
Running what? Like a 980 Ti in there?
I have a 980. Not a Ti, but just a regular old 980. It still gets the job done, but I'm not running it on like ultra settings, right? It's not like I would probably anyways. I normally always drop settings to low because, you know, got to have them FPSs. And it could also just be, maybe I'm blind. It's hard for me to see people sometimes. Like, it's almost like it's so washed out. Now, I'm using a BenQ monitor, not a IPS. Is that what type of monitor? Yeah. So, like, naturally, BenQs, the type of monitors they are, the colors are kind of washed out anyways, and they're supposed to be that because for some games it works. But I almost feel like for this game, maybe not. Like, it's too washed out. Maybe I have to play with my color settings, but it's hard for me sometimes to see people.
No, that's 100%. Okay, so when I say it looks good, I'm talking about the environment. Like, I think it, like the look and the feel and the way you kind of break down through the going through the doors and like it looks, you know.
My brain has not wrapped around
sense.
Opening doors in Call of Duty yet, by the
it's
way.
Weird.
Like I'm
but
sitting
I,
here
I do
like
agree.
Thinking there's no way out of this room, and then I'm like, oh wait, you can open the door now.
Yeah, and I did have the same issue you had, though. I mean, I'm playing on fully max settings, you know, and I'm
not a burn
feel
barrel.
Like the color, it's, but it looks good, but I do agree, like, depending on where I'm looking at, like, I find it really hard to spot people. They do blend into the environment almost because of the color of their outfit with the way the lighting is. I mean, there are obviously times where it can be difficult, but I almost feel like that's the same for all Call of Duty games. Just sometimes, you know,
you just
people do the quick peeks
it.
And you kind of learn the angles and where to look. Right now, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off here.
Or you don't
so
even
I'm
know
not,
the maps. You don't know the spawn rotation.
That's the problem, right? You know? So you're not probably looking in the right spot to begin with. I'm talking about me, you know, at least I'm not looking in the right spot to begin with. So that, it could factor into that a little bit. But, you know, again, the game's a very nice looking game. The guns look really good. The sound is really immersive. So I give it a pretty high rating when it comes to just look and feel.
Let's get into a bad right away. And this, I'm going to start this as a bad because I think it's not ugly because it just takes time getting used to it. Because right away, me and you laughed about it, was the time to kill. It is insanely fast. Like, I don't know if it's because in Black Ops, like, some of the critiques were that people were bullet sponges. Like, it's almost like, dude, this is taking way too long to kill. It's like they went the complete opposite on this one. My very first kill, you get like the default class and you have like a FAMAS with a burst fire. One burst put a guy down, and I honestly laughed out loud. Because you played it before me and you're like, bro, the time to kill is ridiculous. Like, it is, you blink and it's done. And I was like, whatever, I'll try it out. No, you were not kidding. It is really quick. Like, you are not going to get those crazy turnaround jumper clutch moments in this one.
For me, it's too quick. I mean, I really, right now, are too early, too soon review. Right now, do not like the time to kill at all. I feel like it really is taking my like for the game away quickly because I just don't feel like you have an opportunity to fight back. I mean, it makes it more
someone.
Of a campy. Well, it just makes the game more campy. If I know I'm going to be out in the open and I do not have the ability to take any bullets whatsoever, my natural instinct then is to find a good spot, take cover, and play more of a Battlefield style game. So not only does the game kind of already look Battlefield-ish, it like kind of plays Battlefield-ish now. You don't have an opportunity to fight back. I mean, so if you are playing this game in a competitive setting, which a lot of people will be, especially with the new, you know, skill-based ranking system that they're doing, you're going to have a lot of sweaty games. You're going to have people camping in windows. You're going to have people just holding corners. I mean, you're not going to have a lot of that full-on rotation, you know, running openness from a pug style, right? Like, the competitive style will be fine, but like the puggy gameplay, it's not really
what
why I
quick play
COD.
Like, what is that? I didn't even notice.
Well,
how many
it's a combination,
be.
So it's like.
But like, what are the roster sizes in quick play? Because for us, it seems like we could never get into a full room. It was always like 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, and like.
If I had to guess, it looked like a 10-on-10, 8-on-8, 10-on-10 type situation there. You know.
So the more I played, because I think I got to play a little bit more than you. I got used to the time to kill. It wasn't as much of a bummer for me. Like, you kind of learn, like, you don't have to camp, but you definitely hold an area down. Like, you make sure you clear the room before you just continue walking.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. I mean, there is no turning on, unless the person is just missing you. But if the person has any amount of aiming, there's no way you can turn around in this one. Like, there's just it's not possible.
No.
But I didn't hate it the more I played. Now, I'm only thinking of this from a competitive standpoint because, like, in the war mode, right? Like, the 32 versus 32, like, that's just kind of a bit game mode anyways. It's kind of a joke. In the sense of like,
it's Battlefield.
You're never going to jump into that and being like taking it serious, right? Like, do you ever jump into a Battlefield game and honestly get pissed about it? Like, no, it's just, you know, you
it
just do your
it
thing.
Is.
Yeah. It is what it is. Cause there it's like people can spawn on your squad. It's Battlefield. You can spawn on your squad mates, all that. It's if you're into it, you're into it. If you're not, that's what the competitive mode's for. Now, I will say, too, this is a too soon review, and we don't know their schedule. I love Call of Duty, but I hate casual mode on it. Like, casual quick play to me is garbage. There are already things that I'm like, this has to change for the pro playlist. And so they have to release, to get me to play it, they have to, like, promise that they're going to release that pro playlist early. Like, they
not can't. Not like Black Ops 4 style?
Yeah, like,
I think it's coming out next. Well, it comes out next week for Black Ops 4, so we'll finally get a chance to jump
7
in.
7 months into your game's lifespan of a year, right? Your game's out for a year before you release a new one. Just do it 7 months before. No, like, Black Ops 4 was a joke. Like, me and you really enjoyed it, but again, hated the casual mode where it's like, oh, here's a guy with, like, a shotgun that shoots fire at me. Like, and it kills me from across the map, which there's already a shotgun in this game that was doing. Like, a dude was sniping with this shotgun. It was ridiculous. So already, like, for me, it's like, okay, I'm not blaming anyone for catering to the casual gameplay. Like, I understand that's where your bread and butter is, right? The majority of the people who are playing this are playing it to be casual. They're not playing it to go pro. But that being said, you also have to cater to that competitive set where, you know, for the love of God, adjust the UAVs. I felt like nonstop there was a UAV going on at some point in the game. Like, all the time. Well, like, all you hear is enemy UAV up, friendly UAV up. It's like, dude, I just want to run around the map and actually, like,
and part of it is there is no map in the game. For people that don't know, there's no mini map. So UAV is the only way you get your mini map up. And so I think that the fact that you can get that so quick is supposed to kind of make up for that fact that you have no mini map throughout.
See, I guess I'd rather just have no mini map. Like, I'm not anti mini. I for me, if you want my opinion, there should never be a mini map. It should only be like, if you're playing like a pro mode, it should all be based off of communication. There should never be a mini map that shows the enemy on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, for the competitive side, I right. agree. You know, another thing from the competitive side that is going to be interesting is the elevation changes throughout the map. So, like, you have a lot of two-story, you can, like, get into every building, it feels like, in the game. I don't know if that's accurate
lots
or not,
barrels,
but I feel like there's
a, like, have you noticed, like, there's a lot of boxes and barrels you can jump onto to get to places.
Yeah, you can climb up and, yeah. and either get into a window or just hold a higher angle.
There were a lot of moments where I died and then I saw the kill cam. I was like, you can get there? Like, I had no idea.
It'll be fun to see how the pros play that, because again, this game's going to be played using, you know, controllers. So with the elevation changes, like, that's pretty OP, just because it's hard to obviously lock onto people when you're using a controller, like doing quick flicks over to somebody. So, I mean, there's things about this game that are very different than what we're used to in traditional COD. I think people are going to have a really different experience, and, you know, kind of leading into the pro league, I think it's going to be really hard to anticipate who's going to be good in this type of game. Like, yeah. I think it's really going to feel very new to a lot of them. And I mean, you've seen some of them stream it. If you haven't, you know, turn on some of the streams, you'll see them going. They're very good still. Okay. So don't worry. You're still going,
like,
to get a high level.
It's not like, oh, time to kill is low. I guess I'm instantly like Clayster now. Like, it's not, you're still having, like, yeah, no, it's not that bad, but it's, I don't know. What, one of the nice things about it for me though, is the fact that they did completely eliminate the classes. You know, it's based off your loadout. You don't have, like, abilities or ultimates or anything that gather up through time. To me, I love that. I'm so over class-based shooters like Rainbow Six, how it's like you took a natural shooter and then yet gave people abilities. The old Call of Duties, you know, I hate that stuff. It gets so old to me now. So love that they got rid of that.
I don't like it also because there's also, like, tends to be one or two really good classes that people gravitate towards.
Right?
And so, like, it makes it really difficult because you go away from the gunplay and you start having to just balance, like, characters. And so this way, this game, like, you know, like kind of we mentioned, it's all about the gunplay in this game. I mean, yeah. The guns are going to look and feel great. There are so many attachments, so they can't GA everything. So I'm really curious to see what makes it into the pro league and what they say.
I'm curious to see how the pros also play in the sense of, Like in Black Ops 4, it was very easy to rush someone and like slide and jump over them and melee and do this ultimate ability that ground pounded or do, you know, like it was very, you could get from point A to point B really quick. And in here, I feel like, I don't want to say campy, we'll call it more strategic moving. Like, don't you feel like the, maybe not, maybe the pros will learn to play it differently, but right now, I feel like it's going to be a slower pace Call of Duty.
In the quick play game modes, for sure, because you it is campy in the quick play game modes. There's 10 people on the other team looking at you. So right. If you're going to try and rotate, you're going to die before you make it anywhere.
I mean,
somebody's
you and me
holding...
played that one team deathmatch where the other team literally stood in a building the entire game.
Yeah, yeah. They held one
like
building
they
down.
They never just... left that building. So,
Do you think the GA is going to be like the gentleman's agreement? So when we say GA, guys, we're referencing... The Call of Duty pro community, they will make their own agreements for overpowered weapons or tactical abilities,
like
things that
the
they just do not
have the
allow.
Pro ladder rules that the developers will make, and then on top of that, players will be like, "Yeah, well, we still think this is a dumb rule, so don't use this weapon."
And this applies to like weapons as well, you know, like in games where there's operators, it applies to them. So I'm curious to see how the gentleman's agreement works. Now with this new league format, like, is the league going to hold additional rules on top of the developer, although they're obviously kind of one in the same, or will people kind of throw all that out the window? Like, hey, you're
you know,
like,
I'm not a fan of gentleman agreements anyways. And we all know that, like, if I was a pro and you came to me before the match and said, "Hey, can we just do this gentleman's agreement not to use this weapon?" I'd be like, "Hey, can you, like, F off, because I'm gonna..."
Yeah, but would you
weapon.
Say that? Okay, so if they came up to you before a match and said that, of course, like, you'd be like, no, like, especially if it's a gun that you like using. But let's say before the league starts, you know, a captain from every team or a representative from every team and comes together, and now they've made a rule in your favorite weapon, just Tim's favorite weapon, is not allowed because people deem it to be unfair. Well, as somebody that's on a pro team and is fighting as, you know, this is my job, you know, I wonder how they handle that situation.
And that, well, and that's the other thing, right? It's like, guys, no way. Like, if the league is deeming it okay, then let's do it. Almost think of it as like a performance enhancing drug in like football, right? There are a list of drugs or medicines or whatever, over the counter stuff that you cannot take. And on the flip side, there is a list of things you can take. It's not like there's an agreement to be like, "Hey guys, I know they said you can do this drug, but let's not do it, right?
Let's not do this one.
Let's not do this one as gentleman's agreement because it's still too good." Like, no, players are going to use that drug. To me, it should be the same thing. If you have to have a gentleman's agreement in a professional league, I think that's something that a players association, which I think should be like, you know, number one that the players try to get done, should go to the league, like, or like you said, each team has a captain that can go to the league, like, "Hey, you have, you know, you're in the chat with the league officials," and say, "Hey, majority of the captains think this should be a rule," because honestly, they're the ones playing it, right? Like,
yeah,
like, they will know what is being ridiculous or cheaply abused before any of us. Because they're playing a different game than we are. So I think that's something that should be the player's decision, but can go to the league and say, "Look, this should be a rule."
The problem is there's only 12 teams now, right? So in the past, where if something didn't work out with your team or it just wasn't going well, you could get dropped. You'll get picked up, maybe not by one of the best teams, but there's enough teams in Call of Duty in the old circuit to where if you were good, you were going to remain on a pro team of some sort and have an opportunity to compete for all these open tournaments. Now it's 12 teams, man. I mean, there are going to be some amazing players that are not on an active roster or not starting on a roster come the beginning of this league. And so if I'm a player and, you know, you started talking gentleman's agreement, well, I'm fine with it. As long as it's not a gun that I like to use.
I'm fighting for a spot,
know, like,
here, okay?
This is my spot. Like,
before, and we'll get into it when we talk rosters, before Anuj, it didn't matter if there were enough teams. You could always just go make your own. and yeah. sign up. Your points followed you around, right? This old Call of Duty point system followed you as a player. They didn't follow your org. So it's like it didn't even matter, right? You could just go make your own team if you didn't agree with something. So you're absolutely right. The fact that with little teams, little roster spots and everything, like there's no room for a gentleman's agreement anymore. So that's something that, you know, with this Call of Duty, with any new Call of Duty, they're going to have to figure out sooner than later, especially now with the league, right? Like you can't take your time like I felt like what they did with Black Ops 4 and really never establish the rule set until like halfway through the season. And then they finally were like putting out the pro ladder in the game. And it's like, just put it all out at once and then go from there. Make updates as it comes along and go from there. Again, to cap off the Toon Sud review, I had fun. I don't know if I love it. I'll have to wait. Things need to change. Like right now, that's I will tell you this. I will say this. Gun to my head, I'm waiting for the holiday sale. I'm not going to buy it at $60. It's not worth a full cost for me at the moment. Now, they said, guess what? The Pro Ladder will be out day one. Okay, now you have my attention. But if I have to sit there and suffer through UAVs every 10 seconds and all this cheapo crap that Call of Duty throws at me for the casual, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you, except for the fact that I already pre-ordered it because I want to play it. So I'm an idiot. I shouldn't say an idiot. I'm going to play it. I always play these games. Now, the question is how long.
I'll buy it too.
Yeah, how long do I play it for, right? Am I still playing by the time that Tim has bought the game? That I don't know. But for now,
maybe that's a strategy. Maybe you buy it, play it, get sick of it, and then I'll buy it, and you'll be like, oh, I have a reason to play again.
Yeah, but then I already have some guns and all that ready to go. I'm going to be very interested to see what kind of updates they make maybe before the release of the game. Maybe they take some of this community feedback, and I don't know the overwhelming sense of, you know, if everybody kind of feels this way, but these are some of the things that I've heard too, you know, kind of just in terms of on Reddit and other social media outlets. So we'll see. We'll see what it is. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. It's a little early to tell. Like it, don't love it right now.
But what's not too early to tell is what you should be doing with Thrive Fantasy. You should be downloading the app, and when you register your account, use the code TCR at sign up. That will give you a sweet $10 for free when you yourself put in at least $10. Then you can turn that into extra money when you bet responsibly. You can bet on any major sport, football, baseball. You still got a little bit of time there. They're going to have playoffs too, so I guess you could always bet on the playoffs. They have esports, League of Legends, Dota, Counter-Strike. I bet you they're going to get the CDL going in now with that getting started. That is Thrive Fantasy, again, THRIVETCR as your code. Will get you a free $10 match on your first deposit with a $10 minimum. Let's get into our Yikes of the Week, as we do every Sunday, or I guess Monday episode. We record on Sundays, but it's really a Monday episode. I have two Yikes of the Week, so let me get my first one out of the way, if you don't mind, Anuj.
Go for it.
And of course, for new listeners, this is moments of the week that make us just go, yikes. Get it? It's called Yikes of the Week. Overwatch World Cup revealed their jerseys this past week, and I gotta say, yikes. Yikes.
Now, I haven't seen them, so what do we not like about them here?
The fact that someone got paid for them. That's what I don't like. Or maybe the issue is that they didn't pay someone for them. Maybe that's honestly the issue. They are so generic, so cookie cutter. Half of them are literally the same. Like Canada, Austria. I'm looking at them right now. Denmark, Canada, Austria, Hong Kong, Japan, Latvia, Peru, Poland, Singapore, Switzerland, all the same exact jerseys, just with like different country initials on it. It's like they're the laziest design I've ever seen. And for Blizzard to like try making this like a big deal, like you can buy these jerseys for $60. Why anyone would buy them though beats the hell out of me, because there's no soul in them. It's just such a cookie cutter.
It looks like a marketing jersey that they would just like kind of give away.
Like, did you look it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it just looks so generic. And it's kind of always been my beef, even with the Overwatch League. Like, you have a chance here to be really unique with these jerseys. And yet they dropped the ball. I mean, that's really, they're so generic. It hurts.
I mean, it looks like FIFA flags, like they're real.
Yeah.
You know, they're just real basic.
They're real basic. And like I said, it's not basic. Even like when I saw a few, like, you know, like you see Mexico and stuff and you're like, oh, okay, those look pretty cool. Or even like USA. But then it's like when you realize that, like, wait a minute, USA looks exactly like Russia, but with maybe a slightly different shade of red. And then like all of like the red and white countries are literally the same jersey. You're like, okay, this.
Oh, I'm buying an India one.
Just like, look kidding. At Mexico like and them. Italy.
This They're is no longer literally... a yikes for me. They have an India flag. I'm
like,
in.
Mexico and Italy are the same jerseys. The same exact design, like color-wise, all of them.
Well,
are
they're
the same
all design. They're all the same. Like,
yeah, they're all the same.
They're all the like same. Said,
they literally
there's
designed
no,
one
uniqueness
jersey
to it, but
they designed one jersey and then just replaced the different colors and the letters
and
on
the
them.
Lettering. Yeah, yeah.
Now it's yeah, not like previous I mean, World Cups were any better, but you just thought with you know like
this shouldn't be a $60 jersey.
No, this is like the third or fourth World Cup now, you know. And we're going to do our big Overwatch League preview next week and things that we want to see change for next year. But that's one of them is like they need to be Blizzard needs to let teams be creative with their stuff. And, you know, maybe use this for the countries that don't want to design their own jerseys or can't afford full custom get outs, you know. But it's like, come on, you can do
don't
it.
They have Ult for stuff like this? Like, aren't they partnered with Ult for
you would I mean, that's Overwatch League, though. World Cup is separate, but they need to let teams be more creative. Like, you have this going on it now. Like, I don't know. That's one of my yikes of the week. Zen in our Twitch chat says he agrees with me. Thank you, Zen. Knowing that I have your support is the only thing I need.
I'm keeping my yikes within the Overwatch.
Also, Spain's jersey community. Looks like you could wear that
oh,
and work
not,
at
we're
McDonald's.
Not done. We're not done. Okay, go ahead.
I got to close out the tab, Anuj. But Spain does look like that as a McDonald's t-shirt. So we're going to leave it at that. Continue with your yikes of the week.
Lord. So, yeah, I mean, my yikes unfortunately does stay in the Overwatch League. It sounds like we're bashing on them here, and we are.
I feel like yikes of the week might as well just be named to Overwatch yikes of the week. It's like every time it's something to do with Overwatch.
Look, this is like my yikes of this week, and it's going to be my follow-up yikes for next week, just to confirm
just save,
that my yikes for this
for
week,
next week
is on point. No, my yikes this week is they just announced Zed, an incredible DJ, like an amazing, amazing artist and talent. And he is going to be performing for us, which we'll be attending next week. So for those of you that don't know, we are attending Overwatch League next week. We'll be out in Philly. But yeah, Zed is going to be the performer. And this is not so much directed only at Overwatch League. This is all of esports. Why do we keep doing musical acts? Okay, it's not about the artist. It's not about the artist. You could get Tupac to rise from his grave and come to an esports event. And there is a good chance that the crowd will still not know how to act when he's on stage. And this is not me saying, oh, look at all these nerds at this event. They don't know how to be at a concert. No, these people are not here to see a musical act. Do something original in a halftime event. Like, put on a show. I mean,
you
like,
know,
in the sense
at,
of...
When I was at the Overwatch League Finals last year, they had DJ Khaled, which was horrendous. But what they also did at times, they had, like, the Brooklyn Net dancers come out on stage and, like, do, like, a gymnastic bit, you know? Like, not cheerleaders, but, like, the actual, like...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Not, like, the greatest thing, but I could at least watch it, you know? Like, wasn't the worst.
Well, like, they have the guy come out and he's going to, like, you know, use 10 bowling pins and juggle them all. That's not what I'm even necessarily talking about. Yes, they could go more the act style in terms of like putting on some sort of performance and that sort. But they also have an opportunity to be creative of some sort of maybe like cool like player montage, something different. I don't know, just like something besides a musical act. They always come across incredibly awkward. You feel bad for the performer because it's you. I mean, in this case, it's a very high profile performer, and the audience is not really going to be into it. And I just know that because we've seen it over and over and over again. And then that's what gets talked about versus the performance itself. And so, look, there's going to be a tweet from Slasher. There'll be a tweet from Richard Lewis and Thorne within 30 seconds of that act going live. I'm calling it now. And so definitely my yikes of the week. Be creative, guys. Do something new. It's not about the performer. It's about the performance. And it just doesn't go hand in hand with the new sports event. It just hasn't worked.
We'll see. We'll see it next week. I think he's actually kicking off the event too. So it's not even like a halftime thing. It's like even early better. On, like it's kicking it off. My other yikes of the week comes from Cloud9 as Mango. Oh my God. What did I just click? Mango. Let me pull this up here real quick. I actually just clicked something here. Is competing in main stage. The Smash tournament going on right now this weekend. We'll talk about it a little bit next week, or our next show, I should say. Hint, hint on the surprise. But Mango's playing Army on the main stage. Ends up four-stocking Army, going up 1-0. Now, four-stocking, for those who don't know, means he beat him 4-0. Like, so you have, like, lives in Melee. And getting four-stocked is pretty embarrassing, and even more so when you get four-stocked on the main stage. So Cloud9 thought they would be funny and tweet out basically saying, ooh, four-stock on the main stage, right? Yikes. Well, that only works if Mango goes on to win the game. Army comes back and beats Mango 3-2.
Even better.
And it made it even better because Cloud9, they're social media guys. They're whoever does their Twitter account is he's good. He took it in stride, and like he pretty much retweeted that tweet making fun of Army, saying like, oh, this did not age well. Like, this was a cursed tweet, I think is exactly what they said. But I just saw it and I was like, oh boy, that's not good. That's not good. And Mango actually was already out of the tournament. He wasn't even playing that well. But
Cloud9 finds a way in every esport to make their own,
just to completely blow it. Boy, if that ain't the truth. That ain't the truth. Those are our yikes of the week. What are your yikes of the week? Let us know in our Discord. If you are not in our Discord, feel free to join it. You can find the link on Twitter. We actually talked about it last week, but we did create like a, we kind of updated it a little bit. There's sections on there now for like self-promotion and stuff. So if you have anything going on in your area that you want to promote, feel free to post it there as well. Let's get this done real quick. I don't have a whole lot of time, so we'll run through them. Everything that you need to know for the CDL and the CSGO roster updates. Let's start with the Call of Duty League real quick, Anuj. Now, none of these are official yet. It's kind of all like some of the teams have announced stuff, but like it's got to be waiting like league approval, which I don't really know what that means. Like,
I'm sure teams want to do their own formal announcements, so they just don't want people tweeting it out. But you know, you have a pretty good idea of where some of these guys are landing up. And obviously, this is the first time we're seeing a true full-blown free agency, right? Like everybody is just available. You can team with whoever you want. You can put together a dream team. You can play with your friends. I mean, whatever your goal is here. And so we do have some breakdowns. This is from the COD Intel Twitter. They do a pretty good job of posting accurate leaks. You know, we don't know who their sources are, but again, just going off of history, they seem to have their stuff together, and we can reliably use them for now. And we'll confirm all of these as obviously the teams announce them. A couple ones that stood out to me, big ones. Obviously, I think everybody was looking, what is Hex teams going to look like, right? Like, who is he going to get? This is part of the Chicago NRG organization. No shock, the names that are announced for him are several former Optic players. Scump, you know, being the headliner here, along with Formal. Formal, they won their, what? That was Scump's first Call of Duty championship 2 years ago. It was before World War II, so what is it? Infinite Warfare, I think, is what it was. Or,
so that would have been.
It was the one before modern or World War II.
Yeah.
So he is with Scump, Formal, Gunless, Articus, and Envoy. again, that's a strong lineup. I mean, all of these players have seen a high level of success. I think another one that really stood to me is our very own, like Dallas's. I was very curious to see how, you know, Mike was going to approach this. It's a little different for him than Overwatch League because, you know, this is his baby.
Well,
this
he knows he it, right? Like,
this is, yeah,
not saying
this
he
is
doesn't
him,
know Overwatch, like, but this is his wheelhouse.
A lot of these players were still very active when Envy was like just a Call of Duty organization, you know? So he's coming in with what looks to be a really interesting lineup. I mean, headline it again. This is a headliner from Clayster. Clayster coming off of two titles last year, including the, you know, the main World League Championship, along with Ian Crimsix. That's an interesting match because we knew Crim wasn't going to be playing with Clayster or Scump going forward. So, you know, those two on the same lineup, two veteran, very veteran savvy players.
Clayster somewhat makes sense too, because he lives in Austin, which isn't terribly far from Dallas. It's about 3-4 hours away. And so, I mean, he's still close to home. He's close to friends. Like, I live in Dallas and me and him are best friends. Like, we play together all the time. I have video evidence of that. So that makes sense that he would stick in Dallas. He actually said, he was like, Tim, I'm thinking about signing with Dallas. What do you think? And I was like, Clay, buddy.
I got an extra room, bro.
Yeah, you know, stay with me, you know, and my wife. We just had a kid. I can move the kid out of his nursery. You could stay there. It's okay. So that I'm excited for that. If that is a thing, we'll definitely have to get Clay on the show then, if that's the case. Maybe even have Mike on the show as well. Might actually bump into him next week at the finals. Maybe ask him about this. Be like, I know we're at the Overwatch League finals, but no one really cares about the fuel right now. Can we talk about Call of Duty? Like, you guys went on a 12-game losing streak for Overwatch. I don't care about that.
Other rumored players, along with Clayster and Crims on that team, are going to be Puk, who was on the team previously under the Envy title, Illy and Shoddy's. I think another one that stood out to me was Immortals lineup for Los Angeles. This is the former Optic team that got awarded the Los Angeles location. This has TJ and Dashy, two people that were teamed together previously with Optic here in this last go around. And then Slasher and Kenny, who are coming from the 100 Thieves roster, and then JCap. And JCap getting onto that roster is like huge. I didn't know where he was going to fit in because he had kind of been on bench ending up the last season. So for him to get onto this team, I think is super impressive.
You know, seeing some of these rosters too, like it's interesting to see because we've never really seen like true free agents. Like this was like truly you took all the puzzle pieces, right? Like out of the board and just dumped them all out at once and then told people to go in and pick them, right? Like create your own puzzle. And like you've never seen this before, like even in like traditional sports, like never. You have like drafts that you always go through or, you know, things like that. But to have like a completely wild west free agency, it's interesting to see like some of these guys on why they chose. Like some of them you heard like they want to play with friends. Like wasn't Crimsix and Scump just kind of over each other? Like wasn't that a thing?
Karma... Yeah, like Ian and Scump weren't going to play together, I believe, or is either.
And that was
or
like
Scump
always
and Karma.
No, it's kind of interesting because it's like you see these guys play with each other for years, and you're like, oh, I guess they really just when they have an opportunity to not play with each other, it's interesting to see them doing it. It's interesting to see like some of these teams, like Dallas, who had a team in CWL. You would think that okay, they're just going to kind of go after who they already have, but clearly, given the chance, Mike is like, no, like I'm going to go out and, you know,
try and get the best people that I can.
Try to get the best guys. Like it wasn't like looking over his own, right? He was like, well, I want to take care of my guys first and then go from there. Like with Overwatch League, that's what he did. He literally signed his entire Envy roster and made the Dallas Fuel and then slowly, you know, took pieces out and replaced them. Here, it's like you have these teams that were recently in CWL and just blow.
And a lot of history, right? Like there's a lot of players in here that all of these guys are very well aware of their past, their, you know, what they've accomplished. A little different for coming from Overwatch because it's still kind of new in the sense, only a couple years in. But yeah, like it was fun to see who was getting screwed, who was making rosters, who was playing with who. I think, you know, there's still a couple of teams I want to make sure I know we're getting close to having to jump into CS here. Three other rosters just to mention, because Simp has been the all-star from last year. You know, he was two-time MVP. Coming from United, he will be on Atlanta's roster, it looks like. And his girlfriend kind of accidentally confirmed that on stream also. It was pretty funny women. Moment there. So, yeah, Simp, Abizi, Priesta coming from 100 Thieves. So that lineup is going to be formidable. The most New York lineup you could have had to have Zuma on it, the Italian god. I mean, him playing with attach, temp, accuracy, and zero.
Right at home.
Seems perfect for that roster. And then, you know, last but not least, Seattle's roster. Seattle's made up of a lot of veteran savvy players. So this is going to be the most interesting one to me, because I don't know how Octane, it almost feel like he got pushed aside. This doesn't seem like the natural roster that I would have seen him go to, unless Enable convinced him, because Enable and him were teammates on 100 Thieves. But you have Octane, Enable, you have Slack, Karma, again, several time champion from
what roster is Optic, that going to be?
Seattle. And then Apathy. Okay. Apathy, again, another guy that's won several championships. He's won them under Envy's lineup. I might have won one under Evil Geniuses, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, again, another veteran savvy player there. That that team is by far like the old man leagues group right there. If they can be consistent, and I mean, I think they have the most level-headed team, I guess you could say, just because of that. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we have right now. There are some other rumors going on out there. I think we're better off maybe confirming as we, you know, we kind of figure out ourselves here. But doesn't leave too many players remaining, and still with Minnesota, you know, Paris, the other Los Angeles teams, you know, there's a lot of rosters still to be kind of filled in.
Yeah, Paris and London are going to be interesting too, because you have like, they are doing like home and home, right? Like right off the bat. So it's like you have guys now that are like kids who have always played here in the States. And now you're saying, okay, you're moving over to Europe. Like that probably plays a huge factor. Like for some people, that's probably really cool, right? Like for me, I'll move to Paris. Like that seems interesting, or London. But for some of these people, like that probably could be a huge factor on like what type of player those teams are getting. So that could affect them in the long run in the negative sense.
Yeah, London's getting, I think, an all Euro roster. Paris is the one that people are trying to keep an eye on, because this might be the one that Sensor is tied to. If that's the case, it'll be fun to see who wants to team with him, or who has no choice but to team with him. So that'll be a roster to keep an eye out on. But yeah, I think we're in for a really fun season. Like this is going to be a bunch of new lineups, and you know, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm looking forward. Like I said, I'm on the fence if I want to buy the new Call of Duty right out the gates, but watching them play will probably make me buy it. Just because.
What about talking about it right now? Is this making you want it more a little bit?
What's sad is talking about the game makes me not want it, but talking about the league makes me want to buy it, because like I said, I like playing the pro settings. I hate Call of Duty in its natural state. In its natural state, Call of Duty is one of the worst shooters out there. But pro setting wise and playing like in a pro environment, to me, it is one of the more fun ones. So I just enjoy playing sweaty, I guess. I'm a try hard is what I'm trying to get at. CSGO had some major roster updates. We'll run through them here real quick. Guardian returns to Na'Vi. You've been saying it forever, Nuge.
For how long?
It to happen.
For how long? I mean over a year.
I would almost say about a year at this point. Like you were saying, Guardian just needs to go back to Na'Vi. Like
he did. And Guardian, to me, has a lot left in the tank. I think this roster becomes so much more dangerous now. I think Guardian's going to have a new sense of energy coming onto this team. So for me, and then for them to get Blade moving into the coaching role, like somebody that's just been in the game, that's played at a very high level, somebody that Simple respects, you know, that you know Guardian respects, these guys, you know, have an understanding of what he brings to the table. I think this really is going to help elevate Na'Vi. I wish this happened like 6 months ago, but at the same time, I think Guardian is still one of the best oppers in the world. And now we have guardian who's maybe not as good as he was when he was there initially in his first stint, but still a very good player. But you have Simple, who is still the best player in the world,
right?
Getting together. And so I'm excited for this just because we've always said, you know, they need a number two. They need a number two. They need some consistency there. Well, hell, on FaZe, it felt like Guardian sometimes was the only one on that lineup doing something. So I think this is a beautiful fit, and I couldn't be more excited. You know, really, this is the move that does it for me out of all of these.
Also underrated is coaching moves, right? Like with Blade joining the roster as a coach, meaning Kane left the roster. Kane, the only reason he was on Na'Vi was because Zeus said, if I'm coming back, I'm bringing the coach from Gambit. Or, Gambit. So, I mean...
Not a good look when Zeus retires and he gets announced that he is off the team immediately.
Exactly. Like, so that tells you right there, like, Kane had zero voice in the room. Zero. The fact that as soon as his boy leaves, he's also getting shown the door. Like, so I think Na'Vi is looking pretty re-energized. I don't want to say, like, a comeback, but re-energized, nonetheless. Keeping in the theme of people coming home. Flusha and Golden returning to Fnatic. Excited about that. It looks cool that they're back. I don't know. I think Counter-Strike is always better when Fnatic is there, and they just haven't been. But
I'm happy Flusha is back. I feel like this is an odd spot for Golden because Golden is just kind of getting thrown onto a bunch of rosters right now where if things don't go well, he's like the first one that I would assume gets picked on to change. And not because he's a bad player, like he just hasn't found like the right fit. I don't know if this reunion in my mind is going to go as well as the Na'Vi reunion. I think there'll be moments and flashes of them being good, but I think they needed to get something a little bit more fresh to go along with it. So
the issue with that too, though, is like Golden here is on loan from Cloud9, technically, right? He's on loan, so take that for what it's worth. But he's also going in as in-game leader, so that also like really, it's a double-edged sword, right? Like on one side, that could be like, well, okay, that's really good if they like you, but at the same time, when things go south, like you said, like not only are you a new guy, but you're also like the in-game leader, which is always the first to be looked like to be replaced.
I do think they have a big sense of faith in Golden, though, because that's not the roster that would bring somebody in unless they truly the players have a lot of power on that particular roster. Yeah. And so, but I think this is a tough spot for Golden because he's just got to prove it quickly with an aging roster. And for me, this is not going to be the best reunion. I see them as kind of staying as that middle of the pack team, and it'll be tough for them to qualify for the next major, I think, with that lineup. One has a lot more intrigue to me.
We brought it up last week with Shox joining Vitality.
Yep. That's a good pickup. Just they needed the extra firepower. NBK's role was not a role that he's meant to play in. He's meant to be an in-game leader. That's what he wants to do, I should say. And with Alex really leading that team as of late, there just wasn't much place for him in the way he likes to theory craft the game. And so I think the added firepower is very important here. They were relying too heavily on Zywoo. They needed to take some pressure off of him. We saw it in the major. We saw it in previous tournaments. If Zywoo was off, the team lost. And it can't be that way. It cannot be the simple mentality. You know, it's got to be a joint team effort. And so Shox bringing in the added firepower, if he's willing to listen and play his role, I think this is another really good pickup. I think they have an opportunity to be very dangerous here. You're adding a player that can not only rifle, but can second op for you, and just brings a lot of experience to the table. So I'm on board with the move as long as Shox is too.
I'm so nervous to ever say anything about the French scene at this point because it's such a recycled scene. Right, like at one point in time, you've seen Shox play with some of these guys before. It's just whether or not, like you said, if Shox feels good about it, like if he comes in with a good attitude and everyone else has good attitude about it, then I could see it working out. But I could instantly see them not having a good attitude and just being like, the only reason you're here is because what other French team are you going to join at this point? So that's, it just depends.
Counter-Strike has made me know and learn this forever. I'll teach my kids this one day. Never date a French guy's ex-girlfriend. They are always going to get back together. Always. Always. There is no chance of them staying separated. These guys have been with each other since they were like 15 years old, and there's really no stopping it. They will eventually find a lineup that works and make a major run again. But I like this lineup. I do like this lineup. It's a strong lineup. Shox is still one of the best players in the world, so hard to knock it.
Hellraisers completely disbands their roster and then decides to build off of Angel, which was on the roster. So like they announced that they disbanded their roster, but they really didn't disband their roster. But that's besides the point. You know, they take a few guys from Vega, a few guys you should never heard of. So we'll see. You know, props to Hellraisers for making changes and wanting to stay in it. They're one of those, you know, EU teams, CIS teams that
they find good talent young. They found, yeah, you know, Simple was one of the players that they brought on young, and they've always kind of been a dangerous team, but hard for them to be one of the best because of, again, region has a big part to do with it. They're not going to get the best players from that region.
Is it Brokey? Is that how you say that
name? Yeah.
Brokey is standing in for FaZe, which is another team that's just kind of all over the place. Like FaZe, Neo is no longer filling in for them. They really don't have a fifth that I've seen. So
they don't have a fifth, and they don't have an in-game leader.
Yeah.
And they don't want Alexi B because they don't feel like his play style is going to fit well with, and this is from what I'm hearing, that his in-game leading style will not fit their play style. So they've opted to not go with him, go with the younger talent in Brokey. And I guess the Cold Zero thing, I mean, everyone's still kind of waiting. If you look on Instagram, it looks like Nico and Cold Zero have been dating recently with the amount of pictures they post together and the amount of scrims that they're doing and CS that they're playing. So all signs still point to Cold Zero. Don't have confirmation on it. Brokey, they're looking at this as being like their ROPS pickup, their Stewie 2K pickup. A young, talented player. Will it work? Do they have the time to let it work? We'll see. I think this roster still has other issues. I don't think this fix it for them. But if you add a player like Cold Zero and somebody can learn to IGL, you know, the talent is there. They're
and
just...
things too, like to keep in mind, like 100 Thieves still has to announce a roster. They've announced that they're coming back to CS, but no word on what roster they're picking up. You've even
probably
seen
the Optics.
TSM has said that they were coming back at some point. Rogue has announced that they're going to pick up a roster. Like there are
Complexity
a lot of
announced that they were going to pick up a roster. Complexity.
Complexity. Yep. Announced that they are going to
still nothing
roster.
There.
Nothing.
You know, like it's been interesting because Jason traveled to Europe and has been very active on Twitter, and
it's
he said you'd be shocked at some of the offers that we. Well, a direct quote from him is like, you know, you said something. I say direct quote. I'm using his wording. This is what Jason said, though, is essentially you'd be shocked at some of the offers that we've made that these EU players have turned down because they don't want to live in NA. And so he goes, we're doing everything that we can. Trust me, we're throwing a lot of money out. It's not always about the money. This project could take a little bit longer than most people thought. It's not going to be instantaneous turnaround for Complexity.
Did he really say it's going to take longer than what most people thought? Or is that your
word? It's going to take long. That part was more me than him.
Okay.
Let me see. I
was about
to
say, like,
for
a guy who tweeted out with as much verbose as he tweeted out, for him to be like, guys, this is going to take longer than, I don't know why you thought this was just going to be an instant turnaround. Like, maybe because you completely called out your team and said, you guys suck, I'm replacing you.
So well,
like,
this
that's
is
something that
tweet.
Happens right away.
After that first part, he goes, at the end of the day, I respect their right to choose and wish them the best. This is talking about EU players staying in EU. He goes, I'm patient. The right roster might take time, but this will happen. But it will happen.
A little bit of change of tone then. Still very awkward, though, that he's talking about it publicly with an active roster right now. Like, so weird. So weird. It's like it's like going on The Bachelor, but you have a girlfriend. Like, she knows that you might be replacing her, but it's just, it's going to take time. It's very, very weird. But I, you know what? If it all works out, then cool.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Hope it does.
So there are some of the roster updates in CDL and CSGO. We didn't get to all of them. We're kind of running short on time, but we'll hit it up next week, or, you know, just as things go on. It's kind of the joy of roster mania. It's not a 1 week thing, people. All right. Like, just because we didn't get to something now doesn't mean that more drama isn't going to happen later. So let's get into some e-news real quick. CSGO, Valve actually came out and made a statement saying that they don't love exclusivity. Kind of in direct, they might have listened to our podcast, in fact. I think they did. Talking about ESL's and DreamHack's thing last week. But that's all they kind of said. Like, they didn't really say don't do it. They just said, hey, we don't like it. So
pretty much it's not going to happen for the next one. I'm sure they'll make some sort of rule going into the next major that it...
Yep, so didn't really hear TV anything about ESL's response to it either, so something time will tell. Though Valve also made a statement that between all the items, the sticker monies, things like that from the Star Ladder major, payout is going to be over $11 million for the participating teams and players. Surprised by that. Did not know it was going to be so much.
I would still like to see the breakdown of how it works out. I know we won't get that, I don't think, but
no, and that might be team requested, right? Like, the teams might not want to see that, because then obviously if the sticker money, like if you're not as known team, it might be like, look, let's not have all these other big orgs just kind of whip it out on the table as
well. And Heaton's over here from Ninja saying, hey, no, don't. Don't even
don't
tell
show
them
the sticker money.
Don't tell them.
We got nothing. No one bought the stickers. No one bought.
They don't
the
know we got sticker money.
It. Don't worry about it. Some guy ran away. He's in Taiwan with it. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're making chocolate milk. So there's that. ECS announced that they are returning to Arlington, Texas for the Season 8 finals. So we will definitely be there. Gotta love Arlington tournaments at the Arlington Esports Stadium, considering it's like 20 minutes from our house, so that's lovely. So we will definitely be attending that. Plus, ECS was very fun last year. IEM Katowice was announced that they will return for 2020, with a $500,000 prize pool. So there's an announcement no one really needed, other than the fact that it's not going to be a major, which, after the ESL DreamHack announcement, don't you think ESL and DreamHack are not ever going to, like, I just assumed that was them taking themselves out of the major run
for those two events. Yeah, you would think so,
right? They're not going to make an ECL final also a major. Like, Valve isn't going to do that. I don't know why people were surprised that, you know, like, you, it's just whatever. And ESL New York starts this week, so we will discuss that next week, obviously. League of Legends Worlds is approaching, and they have a new sponsorship with Louis Vuitton.
Saw that. It's pretty crazy.
Pretty interested to see the merch.
Yeah.
Let me see the merch. Yeah. I might buy some gaudy League of Legends stuff. Why not? I just don't see that blending, but who knows?
Gold caps for bowl head cuts.
Yeah, like, I can't even say it with a straight face. Like, Louis Vuitton and League of Legends. Okay. Not really the crowd that I... Not the Louis Vuitton crowd, but... Yeah. Okay. All right.
Keycaps or something.
Then again, players are walking around with, like, $1 million Gucci sandals, so who am I to know anything about it? In other news, Coalition Gears, I think I mistyped that, but Coalition Gaming, which is like the developer of Gears of War, and PGL Esports team up for Gears 5 Esports program. Gears 5 obviously came out not that long ago, a couple weeks ago. Okay launch from what I can tell, but they're investing $2 million for prize pools for the upcoming season, or circuit, I should say. Pretty cool. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy to remember, like, when I grew up, Rainbow, like, at MLG, it was Halo was the top dog, and Rainbow Six and Gears of War were like the stepchild. So it's crazy to see Gears of War getting like a $2 million circuit. Like,
just wait, Halo's gonna have some crazy one now, I'm sure.
Of course, but you know it, right? Like, you know, that's just, it's setting that bar that it just shows how far esports has came along, that if Gears can get a $2 million circuit, it's nuts.
Yeah, and it's the like parent, nothing.
Right. Parent company Overactive Media is shutting down Splice, the brand, as part of their restructuring. Obviously, you know, Splice really didn't... They weren't as involved. Like, they used to be in Counter-Strike. They weren't as much anymore. Obviously, with the CWL, they were kind of active with that. But other than that, you really didn't see them very often. I think they were kind of big in...
They've been kind of dying slowly after they were bought out. These guys weren't, like, really building on the rosters. This is just more of an announcement to say, hey, this is officially what's happening.
Yeah.
But they've really been dying down. They're still going to
be around. It's just the brand itself is not.
Yeah.
So if you were a Splice fan, sorry about you. So I don't think there was a whole lot of you out there, but there you go. That's E! News for you. Let's wrap up the show, because I have in approximately 7 minutes to get to an Overwatch match that I have to dominate in. That will just do it for TCR, a.k.a. The Centering, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. 176, it's done. It's in the books. If you watched us live, thank you so much. We stream every show live. Follow us on Twitter to know the updates for that, at The Center Ring. Join our Discord if you're not there already. What are you doing? Be a part of the conversation. We will be back on Wednesday. We are recording Wednesday. Yes, we are starting 2 episodes a week. This week with our Overwatch League preview. Our finals preview, that is, because we will be there. So we want to dedicate a full episode to that. That will be on Wednesday, so you'll get that Thursday.
Stay tuned. I think Wednesday we will probably have a fun announcement for y'all to make as well.
Absolutely. So make sure to tune in live for Wednesday night's show, probably around 8:30, 9 o'clock Central PM, of course. That will just do it for us again. My name is Tim. For Anuj, we will see you guys next time. We